Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Beloved, God is in the miracle working business, and we just have to align our hearts, our thoughts, our actions, our attitude with His agenda, with His plan, and we will see great and wondrous things accomplished because He hasn't changed. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The last several days, we've been looking at events occurring in the life of Asa, who was king of Judah. And just by way of summary, we were looking at 2 Chronicles, the 16th chapter. Baasha, who was king of Israel at the time, he had reigned 12 years, and then he planned an attack against Judah. And his purpose seemed to have been a blockade of the city of Jerusalem, so that none could go out or in, and in doing so would bring Judah to her knees in submission to Israel. Asa, of course, was in a very difficult situation, and he used the treasures of the Lord's house to buy the support of Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, against Israel. They had been in league, and of course, Ben-Hadad listened to Asa and attacked Israel, and that plan was successful. They defeated Israel. In Hebrews, the 10th chapter, let me just share with you the 26th verse. And this is why we need to walk in the fear of the Lord. Verse 26 says, "For if we sin willfully after that we have received knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin." In the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verse 9, the word of the Lord says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Proverbs 14 and 12 says, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." And so what we've been looking at the life of Asa, his heart was, quote, "perfect before the Lord all the days of his life." In other words, he served no other gods. And in a situation after 10 years that he had reigned king, a million-man army came against him, the Ethiopians. He called out unto God, and God miraculously saved them. The odds were 2-1. And then, years later, we see Baasha, king of Israel, trying to submit or cause Judah to submit and surrender in defeat to the will and the desire of Israel. And we see how did God respond, because His ways aren't our ways. We see in verse 7, "At that time, Hanina the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, Because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand." And then he brings him back to this event that happened earlier in his reign. And he asks, "Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand." And this is the text we've been looking at, this wonderful verse, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to shew himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him." And then he goes on to say, the man of God, "Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth, thou shalt have wars." Now, he was being rebuked by the prophet. And what we saw that in, you know, the first 10 years, he had great victory. That first 15 years, there was revival. After 10 years, that's when the Ethiopians came. And then in those years of revival, five more years, there was peace. He was able to build up cities. He encouraged Judah to seek after the Lord. And then here at 35 years of reigning over Judah, another test comes that he does not pass successfully, because he is rebuked. And in verse 10 it says, "Then Asa was wroth with the seer and put him in a prison house, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing." He did not like correction, obviously. And also the sad thing is he oppressed some of the people at the same time. And in verse, well, we'll hold on verse 12. We'll look at the very end of his life. But what we see here are the dangers of compromise. In his case, he thought he was probably doing the politically correct thing. But of course, according to the prophet, it was not. And we do this very same thing. We've walked with God for a time. We know God is our God. We will not follow another, but we lean to our own understanding. And like Asa, we rely on the arm of flesh. We look to man and walk in the fear and favor of man. And do you remember, again, going back to another Old Testament figure, remember Saul? He was anointed king over Israel. He was Israel's first king. And in that 15th chapter of 1 Samuel, he had been given a task to utterly destroy the Amalekites. But instead, the prophet Samuel is delayed. They keep the king of the Amalekites, Agag, alive. They take the very best of the livestock to sacrifice supposedly unto the Lord, and that was not what God commanded. And so Saul was rebuked by the prophet Samuel, and again, he didn't acknowledge his guilt, but he said, well, basically, you know, blame tossing. He said it was the people that did this. And beloved, we cannot deceive ourselves. In Galatians 6:3, it says, "For a man thinketh himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." And in James 1:26, we see deception is possible to a child of God. "If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his own tongue, but deceiveth his own heart," that's scary, is it not? "That man's religion is in vain." James does not beat around the bush in his epistle. He's straightforward. He says things in a very blunt and black and white manner. And so, you know, I'm certain Asa, even though he loved God, served God, acknowledged God, he thought this was politically expedient. He thought this was a good thing to do. Instead of, in that helpless condition of totally depending on God, as he did with the Ethiopians, we see that as a result, he would have wars. And so God had sent the prophet Hananiah to reprove Asa. He had turned from the power of God to the politics of the world. Instead of listening to God's reproof, what did he do? He responded in not a good way. He took the Lord's servant and with anger cast him into prison. And then he showed revenge and, you know, worked off some of his anger on some of his own people. And you know what? This is an infallible sign of backsliding, anger at the truth, because that is indeed what he did. So unlike King David, we readily know it's right out there in full sight of Scripture what he did. He committed murder. He committed adultery with Bathsheba. And what we see is that when the prophet Nathan came to him, and it wasn't immediately, there was time for David to acknowledge his sin, and he did not. But when Nathan showed him, he said, "Thou art the man," he repented, and he said, "I have sinned before the Lord." And so we see Asa's life closes tragically from the way he started. 5 years had passed after Baasha's siege, and then in 2 Chronicles, the 16th chapter, Verses 12 through 14 we read, "And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet, until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians." Now, there's nothing wrong in seeking physicians. God's given them for the healing of mankind. Yet nonetheless, obviously, he was angry with the Lord. He was angry because he was opposed. And it says, Asa slept with his fathers and died in the 140th year of his reign. And they buried him in a sepulcher which he had made for himself in the city of David. So basically, his life closed tragically. He was diseased in his feet with a grievous disease from which he dies. And I think it's rather significant that of all the things that could have occurred, he had a disease of the feet. We don't know what that was. But as we look at feet in Scripture, in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, remember what Paul is saying about the spiritual armor? Our feet are to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And then in the Song of Solomon, chapter 7, verse 1, "How beautiful are thy feet with shoes, O prince's daughter," referring to the church. And then, of course, that familiar passage, I trust, in Isaiah 52 and 7, "How beautiful upon the mountain are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth." You see, Asa started out well. He always acknowledged God as the God of Israel, his God, and yet because God did not approve of the way he handled things, instead of seeking God's glory and God's honor, he turned to his own devices, and then as a result, he suffered the loss of many things, not only his health. And so, beloved, we can learn lessons from his life, and tomorrow we're going to spend some time reflecting on Asa's life, and I hope you can be with us at the same time. If at any time you do miss the broadcast, feel free to go to our website, unveilchrist.org, and you can click on the broadcasts, and they are archived there for a number of years, and you can listen anytime at your convenience. But as always, I bring this broadcast to a close, inviting you to write and share your prayer needs. I love you, pray for you every day, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.